And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I've been kind of meditating and chewing on this idea of overcoming, of being conquerors. And one particular area that Annie and I, we've been in quite a bit of discussion the past couple weeks, is in the area of parenting. She's been watching a parenting seminar by a fellow named Danny Silk, who's a pastor in Bethel, which is Bill Johnson's church. And, I for as much as I love my kids, there's still so much I feel like I lack in parenting. And I think some of that is by nature, by design. There is no perfect parent. There are those who are better equipped than others, but everyone is, it's a journey. Everyone is growing. And one of the particular areas I seem to do well in all parenting aspects, but the one thing that really gets at me is when my son starts to really whine, and he starts to really throw a tantrum. And so, when he was younger and less words he had and the smaller he was, I could just kind of take him out of the situation, literally pick him up. but he's getting a little bigger, and he's getting a little stronger, and his vocal cords are getting a bit louder, and that's harder to do without making a scene, like if we're in a restaurant and I don't like the situation, I don't like his attitude, and I pick him up, he'll just, he'll scream and disrupt people's lunches. And so I'm trying different tactics, but one of the things I realized that there's a bit of a balance, but there's a difference between dictating, right, commanding him and the situation, and there's a difference between that and empowering him. And what Danny Silk will say is giving him a choice. It's easy for me to take him out of the situation and make the choices for him and command it upon him than it is to, take time and try to, for what limited vocabulary he has, try to connect with him, try to communicate with him, as a father figure and present some of the choices and help him to make those choices. And that really is the task of parenting, because, today it's chocolate, right? Micah will die to have chocolate, and no matter what, he has to have this chocolate. But tomorrow or 15 or 18 or 20 years from now, it'll be, sex, or it'll be drugs, or it'll be some other vice or whatnot. And am I putting myself in a position where I'm constantly making these choices for him, where I'm removing adversity, or am I teaching him and equipping him to make the right choices. And that kind of goes back to what we talked about yesterday when I was talking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? God didn't just dictate or command, but he gave us a choice. In fact, he empowered us. He gave us dominion and authority. And so, you know, tonight's, GIC, you know, it's our second meeting. I have 24 people in my GIC. It's a blessing, but it's also interesting, right? It's a little bit difficult to manage 24. But tonight's topic is assurance of answered prayer. And a lot of, you know, one of the questions that I have in our discussion tonight is going to be, well, why doesn't God just remove hardships? Well, why doesn't he just, you know, take it out of the picture? For one thing, we don't grow, right? And second, it kind of goes back to that same argument. If there are no obstacles, if there are no difficulties, then there really aren't any choices to obey or disobey God. And in the sense, then we don't grow. And if there's no growth, then really, if these obstacles or opportunities don't present themselves, struggles or hardships or trials, then it requires absolutely no faith. It does nothing for our relationship with God. And so, struggles do come, trials do come. What God does provide, right? I think this was a quote. It might actually be. I mean, there's various versions of this quote, but, and Pastor Sam has said it, you know, he doesn't pray for the obstacle to be removed, but Pastor Sam says he prays for a stronger back, right? I think he quoted someone. I have another quote. Don't pray for tasks that match your ability, right? Pray for ability to match your task, right? So God doesn't remove, but he gives us ability, and this requires faith. Second, in our suffering, we know that Christ suffers with us. And I gave this illustration before. Some of you may be familiar. I'd always question, like, well, how is it that martyrs can be martyrs, right? How is it that in the peak of their suffering or as someone is literally inflicting pain on them, how is it that they don't renounce their faith in Christ and they can actually go to the, you know? And this, you know, I can only imagine, like, man, this is such a difficult thing to call oneself a martyr, to say that I'll die for my faith. It's easy to say in here or, you know, in Hong Kong or, you know, on the street corner in a cafe, but to really say, you know, I'll die for my faith. And how does one, you know, emotionally, mentally, what goes through your mind? What's processing? You know, how does, you know, obviously it requires faith, supernatural faith and the power of God. But there was this one instance where I had gone to Mexico and through a certain event, during this mission trip, I had a little accident and basically raked both of my forearms, and it was quite a deep cut. Not to the point where I had to go to the hospital, but definitely needed some ointment and some gauze on both forearms. And then I got home about 15 hours later, and what had happened was, there hadn't been enough ointment, or at least the bandages needed to be treated. I think that's what they do. They re-bandage and re-ointment and whatnot. But I kept it on for 15 hours, not knowing. And by the time I got home, and, you know, having been in Mexico for a week, having been not taking a shower, being dirty, you know, first thing I want to get, you know, take a bath and wash up. And as I unwrapped my bandages, it would not come off. Basically, the pus and the skin, you know, it healed into the gauze. So literally, it was like grafted. The gauze was grafted into my skin. So the only way, right? I mean, I don't want to live like this for the rest of my life. So I have to wet it. And it basically made what was, you know, on a scale from 0 to 10, what was a 2 kind of point pain scale. When I had to re-tear, it went to like a 20 or a 10. And so I had this throbbing pain. And I'm not exaggerating when I say, you know, every ounce of pain here was going through my whole body, and I could feel my heartbeat in my forearms. Right? That's how excruciating the pain was. And I was trying to find all different types of positions to alleviate this pain. And it was crazy. I mean, you know, we tried all different things. My friend was with me, and I went different positions, you know, feet up, whatnot. And the only position that would bring any sort of, you know, slight comfort was, I had to lie down like this on the floor, elevated on two pillows. And for some reason, that kind of, it still hurt a lot. And literally, it was to the point, like, I was like, you know, man, tearing up. But here's the thing. here I was lying on this floor, dominated, you know, emotionally, mentally, even spiritually, I would say, by this physical pain. And in an instance, I thought, man, you know, I'm in the position of my Savior. You know, this is like what, is this what it was like, you know, for Christ to be on the cross, you know, in this position. And I don't want to say shameful, but I felt so unworthy to even be in that position. And I can't explain, but a heaviness came over me, and I began to weep, not over my pain, but, you know, the you know, to consider what Christ had gone through. One, that was just one part of it, but two, at that moment, Christ was there suffering with me because my mind was focused on Him. And so, you know, I came away from that experience, and man, that's exactly what happens when you're going through the depth of your struggle, whether physical or whatnot. You know, especially when I consider a martyr, you know, could it be that Christ, you know, that His, you know, Spirit, you know, is right there comforting you and bringing you through that experience? And it was supernatural. I was completely focused on Him to the point that the pain and the pulsating whatnot was not an issue. And it was really, you know, just an amazing encounter for me. And so He empowers us, gives us strength, which requires faith. Two, He suffers with us. Right? A lot of people, that's, you know, probably one of the main issues why they can't come to church or why they can't come to faith. How can a God who loves us allow such suffering? Right, but the fact is that He didn't just, you know, allow it to come. You know, He gave us free choice, but He actually suffers with us, and that's a lot of things that people don't understand. Let me wrap up by just closing on this point. If you turn to James chapter 1, James chapter 1, okay, and this is a really cool verse. James chapter 1, verse 8. I'm sorry, actually the first few verses. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. And the word I want to focus on in verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, right? It's not saying, like, you know, you're in a situation, you're in a trial. It's not saying that is joyful. It's not calling that joy. It's not calling an apple an orange. It's not saying this situation, call it joy. But what he's saying is consider, right? Consider. In other words, think of it as, okay, it's not an apple, but think of it as an orange. Okay, you're driving a Hyundai, right? Think of it as a Ferrari. It's not a Ferrari, but think of it as, I mean, it's gonna come, and so it changes your mentality, it changes your mind, changes your heart. You know, basically, you know, I kind of blocked it out like this. Okay, here's a trial, and consider it as joy. Here's a trial, consider it as joy. What's required? It's faith. You can't consider it as joy, whatever situation you're in, impossible if you don't have faith. Right? In other words, if you have faith in that situation, you'll have joy. If you have no faith in that situation, then you won't have joy to overcome. Right? And that's what God is wanting to do in us. He's not going to remove. He wants you to overcome. Man, I love my son so much, and it would kill me for him to make the wrong decisions later in life, and I'm going around in circles, trusting in God, loving God, and doing the best I can, loving him, but I want to equip him, you know, I want to empower him to make the right decisions, and God has the same heart for you. He's not just going to remove obstacles; He's going to empower you. The very struggles and hardships that you wish would you know, turn around and run the other way are the very things that are going to increase your faith, give you the ability to overcome, right? And God makes that possible. Amen. And one of the keys is this verse right here. Consider it. Think of it as. Why? Because we have faith. It's not now, but think of it as, because it's going to come. And the medium of that is faith. Without it, you cannot complete it. Without it, you can't have joy. Without it, you can't conquer. Amen? So let's bow our heads. Let's just spend some time and just focus on a few points today. You know, one, let's give thanksgiving. You know, I think this would break the enemy's back. Whatever he's trying to use against us to break our back. Let's give thanksgiving. You know, praise God for these trials and tribulations. God, because I know it is to form me and make me in your likeness. God, I know that in fact, it is to draw me nearer to you. For me to say that I am so dependent on you that I cannot do this without you. And it's a beautiful thing. It's an invitation. A trial or a struggle or some hardship, a thorn in your flesh that's been there 10 years. Man, it's an invitation to come near to God and to depend on Him. All right, so let's just spend some time. You know, maybe we've had a sour attitude. Hey, let's thank Him. Let's praise Him. Even if we don't see what's coming around the other corner. God, I thank you in advance. Let's also thank Him that He suffers with us, that He's right there with us. You know, that the enemy would, every way possible, form and shape, desire that we would believe that He's not there. Man, that is such a lie. And He so suffers with us. He so understands our heart pains, our emotional pains. And if you don't have faith, then pray for faith. If you don't have faith for a certain situation, then ask for it. God gladly gives to those who ask. Say, God, give me faith to overcome. Let's just meditate on these points as Chelsea leads us in a song of worship.
His dying breath has
At this time, let's pray for our events and ministries this weekend. We have a GIC tonight, our second meeting. Just an amazing class. It's just one class, but I really feel like God's going to do an amazing work in the whole bunch. So let's just pray covering over them. We have a Experiencing God tonight. Do you guys know who's leading that? Hyge. Okay, Hyge will be leading that for pray, covering over him. Just wisdom, insight, sharpness. We have a youth group tomorrow. We have a Sunday service, IP meeting, Sunday school. We have a guest speaker coming in town who's actually here, Tim Peters. Let's just pray covering over him, his message for North Korea and the refugees. I just pray for a church that God just, you know, prepares our hearts to be receptive, to really lead and direct us as a whole. So let's just pray covering over our ministries, our meetings, as we come together, that God's presence would dwell. Let's pray also for tonight, McCain House Church, Jimmy and Boyang. Just pray covering and favor and just God's dwelling in their place. Let's just pray over our meetings. Let's cover. Let's just pray for people in church who, you know, are really struggling, and you know, the most difficult part about it is for them that they can't seem to sense or feel God's presence in their hardship or difficulty. Let's just pray for these people. You know, if you know them, or if you know someone who's just struggling, or, you know, let God imprint upon your heart on someone. And let's just pray covering over them, and just really pray that God would just have a breakthrough in their hearts, and that through this, that they would draw near to him and not further from him. So let's just pray for people, you know, members, house church, ministries, just friends, you know, in different cities, different countries. Let's just pray covering over them. Let's pray lastly for our building search. Just continue to pray for favor, for a perfect plot of land, for all those involved, just God's grace and empowering. So let's just cover and pray for our building fund, building search. Father God, we thank you, God, for this morning. And God, we're just reminded that we are not weak. God, that we are not beggars, that we don't get pushed around. God, that we are mighty in the might of the Spirit. God, that your Holy Spirit empowers us. And God, we just pray that as we go out here, God, we're not conquerors just, you know, by title. God, we're conquerors because we conquer. God, because we overcome situations and circumstances. And so, God, we have complete faith in you. You know, the greatest example of a conqueror. You know, defeating sin, defeating death. And God, we have the same Spirit in us, and we are being conformed and transformed into your likeness day by day. So God, increase in us, God, that we may increase your kingdom and give you glory. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful day and time of prayer.